Who am I that the highest king would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, who is free. Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the sun sets free, who is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a
welcome to St. Stephen's United Church online worship service. We are so delighted that you can join us on this Communion Sunday. If you need to stop the recording to prepare either crackers or bread and some wine or juice, please do that now so that we can worship together at the time that Diane leads us in the Holy Sacrament of Communion. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. As we do every Communion Sunday now, we want to acknowledge the lands that we are free to worship upon, the land of the Qualicum First Nation. So hear this recognition. We are honoured to gather, serve and worship on the traditional and unceded territory of the Qualicum First Nation, the traditional keepers of this land. We seek to live with respect for these original peoples and to honour their values and the land they have called home for thousands of years. We also pay our respects for and acknowledge the lives lost and the courage of the survivors of residential schools, and commit to support, advocate for, and contribute to the implementation of the calls to action of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada. Let's say together the call to worship for today. Sing praises to God, all you faithful ones. God hears us in our fear and our sorrow. Where there was no way, God leads us in a new way. Where there was no mercy, God surprises us with fresh mercy. Where there was weeping, God invites us to step into a new dance. If you light a candle as a practice of worship, let's do that together now, remembering that Jesus is the light of the world, the living word, the bread of life. Please pray with me. Loving God, as we prepare to share in the life of Christ at the Holy Table, grant us the grace to share in his life in the world through faithful witness. Teach us how to be open with others about our faith in him, to speak the truth in love, humbly and without shame. Save us from the temptation to conform to what is popular or what is favoured by people we admire for their success in the world. Teach us how to rely upon you in the power of the Holy Spirit and not upon ourselves to bring the harvest of the kingdom. Let us seek no other reward than to know that we will receive what is promised to faithful witnesses. The reward of knowing you and being known by you in the communion of all the saints forever. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's say the prayer of confession for today. O God, we know that Jesus sent out his disciples without purse, luggage, or sandals. All too often, we find ourselves clinging to the possessions we don't need, looking for safety by avoiding risk and bearing heavy burdens that slow us down. Forgive us for our reluctance to travel lightly and help us to trust you to lead us and care for us by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, we are children of the Most High, forgiven and welcomed as citizens of God's kingdom. God has rescued and redeemed us from sin and has showered us with mercy and grace abounding so that we might be free and so that we might go and be bearers of that same grace and mercy ourselves. This is good news. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen. It is a Communion Sunday, and so on Communion Sundays, we profess our faith. Today we are doing that by saying together the Apostles' Creed. Will you join me? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 to 11 and 16 to 20, from the English Standard Version. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town, they will receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your own town that clings to our feet we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, today's reading picks up where last week's left off. Last Sunday, we began the portion of Luke's gospel we call the travel narrative, because from that point on, Jesus was quite intentionally making his way to Jerusalem for the final time. He knew that he would die there, and so he spent lots of this time traveling, preparing his disciples for the mission that they would need to take on after his death. Today, in this section we're reading together, we see him preparing 70 people, 70 of his followers. He was sending them out to go ahead of him to places he was planning on traveling to, sending them to preach and teach and heal those who would welcome them. Now, Luke doesn't say that Jesus specifically instructed them on how to do those things. Instead, it seems like Jesus was more intent on shaping how they were to be as they did them. Well, as we well know, that same mission that he was entrusting to them is now ours. So that means that this preparation that Jesus gave his disciples throughout the travel narrative is as much for us today as it was for those first followers. Well, here he starts by telling them to travel light. They weren't to carry any belongings or provisions with them. Instead, they would need to rely on the hospitality of the people they encountered as they went. Some of those people would welcome them. And if they did, the disciples were to share Christ's peace with those, their hosts, and to pray for those who needed healing. But Jesus also warned that there might be other people who would reject them. And instead of getting angry or distracted by that, Jesus urged them to dust themselves off and to just carry on, to find others who were more interested in their message and in the ministry they had to offer. Interestingly, Jesus tells them to proclaim to everyone, those who welcomed them and those who didn't, that God's kingdom has come near. Here in this passage, we virtually get to look back in time and sit in as Jesus prepares these early followers for how they were to be as they carried out this mission he was giving them. Passages like this one are really invaluable to us. I used to run our team trainings of our Mexico mission teams, and one could argue that instead of doing what we did in those trainings, perhaps we should have just gathered together and studied passages like this one. It really is good formation for us as we try to follow Jesus wherever he may lead or send us. Well, we can tell by what he says to them that the character that we embody as we live out his mission is at least as important, maybe even more important, than the specifics of what we actually do in his name. As he sent these people out, he spent time shaping some essential character traits in them. Three of these really jumped out at me as I was working with this passage this week. Now, they're certainly not the only character traits Jesus is forming in his followers, but it does seem here that he sees these three as particularly important for us to remember as we go in his name. So he starts by warning these 70 people that they were going to be vulnerable. He said, "Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves." He told them to travel ridiculously lightly. They were not to take anything with them, no purse, no baggage, no provisions. Instead, they would need to rely on the hospitality of others. He explained that they were to stay with the people who first welcomed them, grateful for the hospitality that was being shown, and sharing the peace of Christ with that household. And if they weren't welcomed, then Jesus told them just to dust themselves off and carry on. And in that, we can actually hear some echoes of something we heard Jesus say last week when he warned his followers that foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. There was no guarantee that doors would not be slammed in their faces. There's no guarantee that our ministries and missions will always be booming successes. Clearly, those being sent out by Jesus need to go prepared to accept a significant degree of vulnerability and willing to trust God in both times of provision and times of scarcity. So that's the first one. Jesus' disciples need to go with an awareness of our vulnerability. But even with that, we can still go with a sense of confidence. Remember, Jesus sent these people to go and do the things they had watched him do, like teaching and preaching and healing. And as we heard in verse 19, in his words to them after they returned back, he had sent them with his authority over the power of the enemy. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that ultimately, Jesus has power over anything that opposes God and God's ways. So you'll remember in his great commission to us, he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This means that when Jesus leads us, however and wherever he leads us, he and all of his authority is with us. So if he wants to do something through us, we need only to listen for the Spirit's leading and then pray or preach or serve or love as we are led. And when we do that, as astounding as it is to think about it, he can actually work through us and through our very imperfect efforts to bring freedom and life and healing. So when we go as we are led, we can pray with confidence and preach with confidence and serve with confidence, simply because Jesus is Lord with that authority, and he is with us, leading us. He has the authority to do whatever he wills to be done. Now, as good as going with this confidence is, we do need to be aware that there can be a bit of a shadow side to it. Like those first 70, we too can fall into a bit of a trap of letting our confidence slip into bravado and even pride in ourselves. Remember when they returned, they were pretty chuffed. They said, "In Jesus' name, even the demons submit to us." And Jesus gently and yet firmly reminded them not to get caught up in the trap of pride over anything they have done for God. Instead, he urged them to rejoice in the grace that God had shown them, and to remember that any good that came from their efforts came because God was working through them. Well, we need to be wary of that same trap. When God brings life or healing through our efforts, it's not us doing it. It's the Spirit of God working through us. Which, when you think about that, really think about it, that's an incredibly humbling thing, that God might work through us. And that really brings us to the third of our character traits we're exploring today, the one that I think is arguably the most important: humility. So Jesus wants us to know that as we go, he sends us, and he and his authority go with us. He also calls us to be prepared to be vulnerable to the responses of those we're being sent to, rejoicing when we are welcomed, respecting those who may reject us, and not letting that rejection discourage us from carrying on. And finally, here he urges us to go in humility, as those who know full well that any good that comes from our efforts, it's actually not our doing, but rather the work of the Holy Spirit through us. Now, if you really think about it, humility is actually woven through all of Jesus' instructions. The humility to be vulnerable. The humility to know that it's not actually us performing miracles, but rather the Holy Spirit doing it. And the humility to remember that the authority to defeat any of God's opponents is from Christ, not from us. Humility is really a central feature of the character Jesus is forming in us all. It is essential as we live in the way of Christ. It's not just a nice way to be. It is essential to the work of God's Spirit in this world. The Bible commentator William Barclay said, "Humility is actually a passport to the presence of God." It seems that the Holy Spirit is often drawn towards humility. When someone is being truly humble, you often can get a sense of God being close. And so that means that when we are actually able to embody true humility, it sometimes makes it possible for others around us to experience a sense of God's presence with us. It's as if our humility actually leaves a space through which God's presence can shine. And experiencing that can at times be transformative for those who encounter it. But that space isn't left if we put ourselves at the center of whatever we're doing. It only comes as we humbly remember that it's not about us, it's about God. When we get our pride and our egos out of the way, there is actually room for God to come to people. My friends, I truly believe that the gentle presence of God's Spirit shining through a humble disciple will draw more people to Jesus than any spectacular submission of a demon ever will. Our humility can really be that important in God's kingdom work. So as we answer Jesus' great commission, and we go, each in our own way, whether that going is around the world or just next door, we go taking this preparation Jesus has given us today through this reading. So like these first sent ones, we go believing firmly in the authority of Christ and trusting in his promise to be with us. We go prepared to be vulnerable, willing to accept whatever reception we get. And most importantly, we go humbled by the trust that Jesus has placed in us by virtue of calling us at all. For he is sending us into the world to embody the life we found with God, specifically so that others might find their way to that life as well. Amen.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee, filled with messages from thee. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee, ever only all for thee, ever.
Good morning. Please join me in praying for our community and our country, especially this week as the nation celebrates Canada Day. We give thanks, dear Lord, for our country, which provides us with a peaceful place to be in this world. we feel blessed for this gift. We know that we must all work together in order to keep this priceless peace and comfort. We ask your blessing on our leaders that they may serve with integrity and grace, wisdom and discernment, and importantly, spiritual well-being. We ask that you guide them in their thoughts and speech. We hope that with your help, Canada can be a nation that demonstrates righteousness, justice, compassion, and generosity, and that we can accept each other and work together for a better country. We ask your blessing as we work towards these goals in our community. Help us to love others no matter their race or background. Help us to find common ground in understanding the problems in our communities such that we can solve them in a fair and wise way. Gift us with compassion and empathy. We lift up our children to you, knowing your love for them. Throughout our huge and beautiful country, we pray for our leaders, our federal leaders, our provincial leaders, our mayors and municipal governments, our First Nations and Aboriginal leaders, our judges and the judicial system, our emergency services, our healthcare workers, and our educators, and the beautiful people among us who shine with your light and gift your love away in all their actions every day. We honor you with your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Friends, it's time to gather at the table, and you are most welcome here. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to God. Let us give thanks to God, our Maker. It is right to give our thanks and praise. Gratitude, praise, hearts lifted high, voices full and joyful. These you deserve, gracious God. For when we were nothing, you made us something. And when we had no name and no faith and no future, you called us your children. When we lost our way or turned away, you did not abandon us. When we came back to you, your arms opened wide in welcome. And look, you prepare a table for us, offering not just bread, not just wine, but your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, healed, blessed, and made new again. You are worth all our pain and all our praise. So we join our voices to those on heaven, on earth, and in heaven. Holy, 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 God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord Jesus Christ, present with us now, for all that you have done and for all that you have promised, what have we to offer? Our hands are empty. Our hearts are sometimes full of wrong things. We are not fit to gather up the crumbs from under your table. But with you is mercy and the power to change us. Among friends gathered round a table, Jesus took bread and broke it and said, "This is my body. It's broken for you." And later, he took the cup of wine and said, "This is the new relationship with God, made possible because of my death. Take this, all of you." So as we do in this place what you did in an upstairs room, send down your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine, that they may become for us your body, healing, forgiving, and making us whole. And that we may become for you, your body, loving and caring in the world until your kingdom comes. Look, here is your Lord coming to you in bread and wine. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's say together the prayer Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, this is the body of Christ, and it was broken for you. And this is the blood of Christ, and it was poured out for you. And yes, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you now to consume the elements in the places where you are. Let's say together the prayer after communion. Generous and faithful God, you have fed us at your table. May the nourishment we have received enable us to enrich the lives of others wherever we may go from here. Whether the future be dark or bright, the road be smooth or rough, whether our cares be light or heavy, our song be strong or weak, keep our hearts warm and our hands open, our lives ever embracing and ever embraced by your love. Amen.
Friends, we are very grateful for the many ways in which you give to the mission and work of God through this congregation. Would you pray with me now the prayer over these gifts? In the offering of our gifts, as well as the living of our days, may we not grow weary of doing what is right, but commit to speaking up for the voiceless, healing the broken, feeding the hungry, and all those mercies which are such a part of your heart and hopes for all your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
There are two announcements for this week. One is a repeat. Just a reminder that we will be welcoming new members to the congregation in mid-July. And if you are interested in being a member of St. Stephen's, we would love to hear from you and tell you how we can make that possible. So if you're interested in membership or have any questions or are curious about it, please give the church office a call. And we'd be happy to answer those questions and encourage you to decide whether you would like to join us in that formal way. Second announcement is an announcement about the choir. For the summer, the choir who lead us in music leadership at the 11 a.m. service are going to be having no rehearsals during the week and welcoming people who want to sing with them each Sunday. You just need to come about a half an hour early before the service. They'll practice, run through the songs, and then sing together. It's a wonderful opportunity for people who may not be a regular part of the choir to join in and do some singing with a fine group of people. So if you're interested in that and you are local, would encourage you to come out on a Sunday and give it a try. The information about that is in your emailed announcements. If you have questions, you can contact our choir director, Ann Bennett, and her information is in that announcement. Friends, go forth from this place refreshed and empowered to do the ministry to which God calls you. Travel lightly, for you carry all that you need. Watch for God's presence in simple, everyday experiences. And when the opportunity arises, work for the good of all. And as you go, may the blessing of God, our Creator, of Jesus, our Healer, and of the Holy Spirit, the Life Giver, go with you today and always. Amen.